Madam President and members of the Senate, Madam Speaker and members of the House of Assembly. Tradition calls for the first order of business at the opening of a new session of Parliament to be an address from the throne, in which an outline is presented of government's proposals for the advancement of the country's development within the framework of policies, plans, and objectives established at the commencement of its term of office, but allowing for possible refinements along the way. The traditional nature of this exercise, however, can never diminish the seriousness of its purpose. Governments, having been given a mandate by the people, are required to report on the progress achieved in discharging this mandate. The address from the throne is intended to do that and to speak to policies and programs to be pursued in furtherance of the mandate. Plans and proposals for economic and social advancement are subject to many environmental factors. Some are internal and can therefore respond to a measure of control, while others are external and beyond our ability to influence. The effects of globalization and the multilateralization of trade in goods and services are important external factors in this regard. We have recently been made only too painfully aware of this transmission when the entire global financial system became infected, particularly by tainted intangible assets, which turned out to have been overvalued or of questionable value, creating in its wake a worldwide crisis, which has resulted in a global recession and in unprecedented job losses as confidence in the global marketplace plummets. That we were not the perpetrators of this crisis was of no consequence, but together with other developing countries, we have been among its victims. Madam President, Madam Speaker, alongside these adverse economic circumstances, our country must grapple with a host of social issues which have implications for our immediate and long-term future. It is not difficult to conclude, therefore, that this formal opening of the fifth session of the ninth Parliament of St. Lucia in many ways finds our beloved country at the crossroads. The actions we take from now on and the decisions we make, given where we are now positioned, will to a large extent determine our destiny, determine whether we sink or swim, whether our country is able to navigate the treacherous waters that lie ahead of us. It is all about choices, and the choices that we make will define our future, since we may have to live with them forever. We can choose to harness our limited productive resources in a manner that seeks to take account of the interests of all, particularly the most vulnerable among us, or we can adopt the selfish posture of to each his own. But the lessons of the recent past, which should be all too fresh in our minds, have forcibly brought home to us the futility of self-centeredness as natural and man-made disasters locally, regionally, and internationally have completely exposed our own vulnerabilities. Historically, it has taken such adverse circumstances to galvanize solutions to act in a unified manner, to bring out their true sense of patriotism and national pride. In September last year, an important health facility, the St. Jude Hospital, was destroyed by fire, thus compromising health services, particularly to the southern part of our island. Once again, our people responded admirably, whether it was in rescuing patients and others endangered by the fire, or in making donations towards the reconstruction effort. St. Lucians have stood tall and so deserve the highest commendation. My government wishes to convey its most sincere appreciation to all those who, in one way or other, made their contribution during this catastrophe. Special praise must be reserved for the management and hard-working staff of the St. Jude Hospital for their dedication, patience, and commitment. We also take the opportunity to thank the youth, the sportsmen and women of St. Lucia, for their understanding and cooperation at the temporary unavailability of the George Odlum Stadium, which now houses St. Jude. The resources collected from local contributions have been augmented by numerous donations from our international friends and partners, to whom we must also express appreciation for coming to our assistance in this time of need. Their generosity and that of our own people will enable us to commence reconstruction shortly, whether at the existing site or at a new location. The devastation caused by the earthquake in our sister Caricom nation of Haiti last January was a stark reminder to us of the destructive power of natural disasters and of the fact that hurricanes and tropical storms are not the only natural phenomena to which this region is exposed. It highlights the need for us to implement strategies for disaster risk reduction, a requirement to which my government attaches the highest priority. That a St. Lucia national was among the victims of the disaster served to highlight even further the interconnection between us as CARICOM people. The prolonged drought conditions which we have recently experienced and which caused severe interruptions to our water supply bring to the fore the imperative for conservation of our resources, the need to explore and develop alternative sources, as well as our particular vulnerabilities in the water sector. Such an eventuality had not been foreseen and catered for in the proposed privatization of the water sector. This vindicates my government's decision to suspend the process to allow for a consideration of all the issues. My government believes that those who present themselves for service to our country through representation within these hallowed walls must understand that when they do so, they are subject to a higher standard of scrutiny and accountability. It is in this context that, during my address to the third session of this ninth parliament, I had indicated government's intention to establish a commission of inquiry to inquire into certain matters which suggested the possibility of maladministration. The report of the Ramsahoy Commission has been released and made available to all St. Lucians. It has also been vigorously debated in Parliament. My government takes no pleasure in the findings. What is more important for our governance are the lessons to be drawn from these findings and how we proceed to ensure that the possibilities for such incidences are eliminated or at least minimized in the future. Steps have already been taken to commence the implementation of the recommendations of the Commission, and my government will continue to hold itself to the highest standards of accountability. Madam President, Madam Speaker, permit me to return for a moment to the economic conditions which our country has had to face in recent times. Unemployment in our major markets has taken its toll on tourist arrivals, and our hotels have had to struggle to survive, even while operating within a framework of discounted rates. With a global bank credit squeeze, foreign direct investment has slowed, particularly in the tourism sector, where planned projects and some already under implementation have had to be held in abeyance or postponed, thereby affecting employment in the construction sector. Remittances from overseas have decreased, not only in respect of cash transfers, but also in terms of other support provided in the form of goods sent by relatives overseas. However, through careful management and guided intervention, my government has been able to stave off the worst of the fallout from the global financial crisis. This has been achieved through various measures, including stimulus programs and the implementation of a substantial capital program which have secured jobs and protected the vulnerable. Having managed to overcome what appears to have been the worst of our crisis, our country is now well poised to take advantage of improving conditions in the world economy as we seek to grow our own economy and make our country more resilient. My government's development strategy is a proactive response to the severe impact of the global recession. We recognize the need to initiate an action plan to achieve sustained recovery in the medium term, while keeping in focus the need for long-term development. This provides the background to the economic strategy being pursued. Short and medium-term strategies must simultaneously set the stage for ensuring the well-being of this and future generations. In that regard, government economic strategy will be based on identifying and injecting resources into emerging and existing sectors with growth potential, ensuring a sound and credible macroeconomic framework, including the strengthening of revenue collection, rationalization of expenditure, stimulating investment, and long-term debt sustainability. Working with the private sector and civil society to heal the ills of our time and to weave together a more nurturing and enduring environment, thereby strengthening the social and moral fabric of our nation. It is my government's firm belief that this will go a long way to paving the road to recovery and to instilling confidence both at home and abroad. International cooperation and regional integration will continue to be at the core of our economic policy. My government wishes to place on record our appreciation to all the friendly countries and international organizations which have come to our aid. We will seek to deepen such cooperation, especially within the context of the regional integration movement. In that regard, we look forward to the official launch of the OECS Economic Union Treaty in June. We are also committed to the 8-point stabilization and growth program for the ECCU countries, and later this year, we intend to seek the endorsement of Parliament for this program as part of a wider national economic and social re-engineering initiative. Madam President, Madam Speaker, we live in very challenging times, and nowhere are those challenges more evident than in the apparent deterioration of our social fabric that seems to have become the order of the day. This evidence is all around us, and it is difficult not to observe it. This calendar year started with an above-average number of homicides. The bold and brazen manner in which these acts are committed have undoubtedly caused law-abiding citizens to wonder whether we are safe when we walk the streets, when we are at our workplaces, or even when we are within our very homes. These acts demonstrate a lack of respect for life and for the dignity of the human person as enshrined in our Constitution. When we extend this to all the other criminal acts that often go unreported in the media, the acts of deviance, the antisocial behavior, the indiscipline in our schools and in the wider society, including even an apparent direct attack on our justice system, we really do understand the magnitude of the problem. Not only is our national security under threat, but so also are our institutions of governance, which are the very foundation of our society. Madam President, Madam Speaker, we can take no comfort in the notion that such acts of lawlessness and indiscipline may also be taking place in other jurisdictions. We should not cite any trend regionally or internationally, though true they may be, to justify such criminality on our doorstep. St. Lucia must act now. Collectively, the vast majority of us who are law-abiding citizens must take back control of our society and return to our values. Our values of good citizenship, good manners, love for one another, good neighborliness, being our brothers or sisters' keeper, respect for each other, among others. In short, we need to comply with the golden rule which admonishes us that we ought to do unto others as we would like them to do unto us. That our future is threatened is painfully obvious when we consider that most of this deviant behavior is manifested among young persons. We are losing a generation. And this is not the time for us to engage in political chicanery or trivialities, because these are not solutions but hindrances to our problems. We have a moral obligation to embrace what is positive, to encourage and to instill values that will contribute to the advancement of our social ethos. It is our bounden duty to promote a message that is positive, that is uplifting, and not discard it merely because of its source. Madam President, Madam Speaker, it is also our duty to encourage and to support the efforts of those who, driven only by love of country, selflessly undertake initiatives that promote social stability and enhance social consciousness. There is a definite need for us to rekindle that volunteer spirit that was so synonymous with Salvation Life in days gone by. 3 weeks ago, my government was associated with the launching of a publication which cataloged the contributions to their homeland of 100 illustrious St. Lucians. This was a project approved and funded by my government as part of the observance of the 30th anniversary of our independence. At this time of challenge to an erosion of our social institutions and of the very architecture of our country, it is important that our young persons in particular have role models whom they can emulate. My government hopes that the contributions, achievements, commitment, discipline, and dedication of these 100 icons will serve as an inspiration to the rest of us and propel us to extend even further the boundaries of our possibilities. Madam President, Madam Speaker, recognizing that the magnitude of the problems that we face calls for a national effort, my government will, during this session of Parliament, pursue an agenda designed to re-establish the preeminence of our institutions of governance. We are aware that these problems will not disappear overnight, just as we are aware that they have evolved over an extended period of time. It has also been well documented that there is a correlation between the level of economic activity and some forms of deviant behavior. Any approach towards finding solutions must therefore be multidisciplinary, multifaceted, and structured in a manner to achieve short, medium, and long-term objectives. My government's approach to addressing these adverse social circumstances will reflect its desire to achieve certain strategic goals and objectives within a specified time frame. In the short term, the crime-fighting capacity of the police will be enhanced through the intensification of training programs, the procurement of additional and more sophisticated equipment, and the removal of certain legal impediments which hinder the police in the execution of their function. Short to medium-term initiatives will take the form of short-term employment generating and training activities, such as those under the HOPE project and other opportunities provided by the Economic Recovery Program. In the longer term, programs to open up and provide facilities to communities, particularly inner city communities, will be accelerated. My government has received the second report of the National Consultative Council. One of the major recommendations contained in that report is the establishment of a Council on Social Reform to promote holistic and efficient social development through harmonized interventions by the private and public sectors and the civil society. My government finds this idea particularly attractive, and during this session of Parliament, steps will be taken to create a legal basis for such a council. Consultation with various stakeholders on a draft bill for its establishment before it is transmitted to Parliament has already begun. Madam President, Madam Speaker, it was our own Nobel laureate Arthur Lewis who argued that education is the ultimate weapon with which to fight poverty. If we accept that there is a correlation between poverty and crime, then it is reasonable to conclude that education will also, in the long term, serve to reduce the incidence of crime. Therefore, the promotion of social cohesion will also entail steps in the field of education aimed at improving the employability and career mobility of youth and other marginalized sections of the population through training, mentoring, retraining, and enterprise development activities. Programs such as the Book Bursary Initiative, the School Feeding and Transportation Support Programs, will continue to be targeted at the marginalized and vulnerable sections of our society. Considerable investments continue to be made by government in the upgrading of the physical plants of our schools in order to enhance the learning environment. My government will accelerate steps to further improve access to tertiary education, and in that regard, we expect considerable progress to be made on the initiative to upgrade the Arthur Lewis Community College, which was previously announced. Madam President, Madam Speaker, tradition pays pour commencer chaque session parlementaire et puis un discours présenté par le gouverneur général PIA. Parce que ça a pris un coup tous les années, ça ne voulait pas dire nous parler pour point sérieusement. Au contraire, ce discours-là, tout gouvernement qui a servi pour bailler Jean Pays rapport à ce qui a affecté Pays, qui qualité embêtement qu'il a rencontré, qui nouveau progrès qu'il a capable de réaliser, et puis pour annoncer projet de travail à l'année qui a venu. Tout le monde qui attend, et puis il y a ouais, ça qui a passé en pays, aussi bien, ça qui a pris un coup au Liban la terre, bon comme mauvais. Nous attendons parler du désastre, catastrophe, économie en faillite, action criminelle, mais aussi nous attendons de parler du grand succès à tout niveau. Bon naturel pour y en a l'autre. Bon comprendre en fait et puis pays. L'amitié, la charité, compassion pour prochain. Comme ça, tout le monde ça apprécié qui. Et puis tout ce bouleversement ça là qui t'a pris un courant par ici et par là, cette fille-ci qui a trouvé quoi c'est juste là, a mis ça en quatre chemins. Côté pour tout le monde, quelle direction pour prendre? Si la terre était capable, nous étions sa mandée, mais quand il y a là, c'est à tout bon science nous. Nous n'y pour défendre, pour décider direction qui va mener le pays à succès. C'est pour nous bien choisir, parce que nous prenons pour vivre le reste de la vie nous, et puis ces décisions nous apprennent en ces temps critiques. Madame Présidente, Madame Speaker, ce n'est pas pour dire nous pas ça qui a l'intérêt nous et puis a l'intérêt pays. Regardez qui manière, dernièrement, en septembre l'année passée, toutes ces listes venues ensemble, sans chicane, sans désagrément, sans mauvaise humeur, sans pièce couillante pour travail, à l'intérêt pays. L'effet Saint-Jude l'a montré nous tout ça qui est possible. Là nous mettons tête nous ensemble. Là nous pas égoïstes. Eh bien, là nous pas garder trop pour nous-mêmes. Il montre qui nous n'y l'amitié pour pays nous. Pour prochain nous. Mesdames et messieurs, si c'est pour nous espérer des actes comme ça, pour montrer belle caractère nous, il y a trop de temps, nous avons une chance sérieuse. Parce que ce n'est pas le mauvais temps à sous pour courir couvert à eux. En parlant de ça, le gouvernement a pris l'occasion de discours à la. Pour remercier tout le monde qui mettait la main durant le fait et puis après pour rétablir l'hôpital. C'est travailleur, l'hôpital, c'est pompier, tout ça qui a resté en voisinage, l'hôpital, tout ça qui fait contribution, soit en pays à même et bien l'autre pays. Tout gouvernement, organisation et puis institution étrangère, tout ça qui trouvait quoi bien comporté et bien gêné parce qu'il n'y a pas sa servir ces hommes-là. Enfin, nous allons remercier tout le monde. Nous allons en position en ce jour qui va venir pour annoncer ça nous a fait et puis c'est nous. Madame Présidente, Madame Speaker, encore plus vrai, nous t'écaillons un autre désastre sous contre nous. Si, mauvais temps secteur, mauvais carême là qui passait, c'est continué plus longtemps. Carême ça là, nous yon des listons. C'est pour nous trouver manœuvre pour conserver plus de l'eau. Pour occuper et puis ménager sous l'eau au Liban pays. Pour du bout détruire la forêt pays. Pour protéger l'environnement nous. Même si autant dit que la rivière et puis la mer pas qu'à utiliser. C'est pas pour nous jeter tout ça nous pas voulait en disant yo. Parce que nous avons souffert. Mais nous avons en l'autre gros menace, en pas de la porte, nous, c'est juste ça. Situation crime en pays, nous toutes en bas, nous toutes aux abois. les criminels commençaient à attaquer juste la loi qui supposait protéger nous. Il est pour nous du bout et puis m'a dit qu'on nous questionne. Quelle manière nous trouvons nous en situation critique ça là? Qui ça nous cherche à faire pour penser et bien pour Jerry Malin ça là? Actuellement, c'est pas là pour chercher côté pour mettre blâme et bien pour tourner de nous à cette situation. Il peut affecter nous tous. Parce que nous tous qui vivons, c'est juste à la insurrection. Et puis en Pérèse, en Kainou, en la oui pays nous. Et puis même en place travail nous. Gouvernement qui continue à faire force call pour améliorer la situation, pour abattre toutes ces menaces-là qui abattent ce pays nous. Un mauvais wilomé. Yo kay passé plusieurs lois nef durant session parlement sala pour renforcer c'est ça qui jala. Mais nous toutes ni responsabilité pour supporter et puis protéger ces lois sala. C'est seule manière nous kay gagner à bout ces trois classements pays à ka expérience ce jour sala. C'est pas pour nous traiter ces actions criminelles là comme un défait païcan. En revanche, et puis, rien d'ailleurs. Position beaucoup plus sérieuse parce que ça. À nous de bout ensemble. Parce que débrouiller, pas péché. Madam President, Madam Speaker, permit me now to turn to the legislative agenda which my government intends to pursue during this session of Parliament. First of all, crime. My government is very concerned about the state of violent crime that is affecting our country. The murders and mutilations that have been reported in the media have been nauseating. Particularly worrying has been the fact that even police officers, top prosecutors and magistrates, the very persons whose departments seek to enforce our laws and uphold justice in our society, have become targets of violence. Citizens of this state can no longer fold their arms while assaults on our most sacred institutions are launched in broad daylight. The paramount duty of government, of any government, is to ensure the security of its citizens. We cannot abdicate this duty. We must maintain the rule of law at all times. And with all our might, protect the judiciary, which is the bulwark of our democracy. Accordingly, our legislative agenda will address this by providing law enforcers with the means to combat crime. In doing so, the following will be addressed. We will continue efforts at developing laws, regulations, and a code of ethics for police officers to enhance the powers of the police. Some of the measures to be adopted were outlined at some length in last year's throne speech. Some progress has already been made in these and other matters, including witness scam protection, apprehension of offenders beyond our borders, cyber crimes and others related to the information and communication technology sector, the Motor Vehicles and Road Traffic Act, the Protective Services Act, the Private Security Act. It is expected that the outstanding issues will be addressed in this new parliamentary session. We now turn to other sectors and we look at the financial sector. Notwithstanding our concern about crime, we cannot ignore the needs of other sectors of our society or our obligations at the regional and international level. Accordingly, we will aggressively pursue the enactment of laws aimed at bringing stability to our financial sector. Government will expedite the enactment of the remaining bills recommended by the Monetary Council of the Eastern Caribbean Central Bank to harmonize and consolidate the sub-region's financial sector. These will include the Financial Services Regulatory Authority Bill for the independent monitoring of the financial sector, the Insurance Bill, and the Commercial Code Amendment Bill. At the local level too, government has a duty to protect taxpayers from wastage and loss of public funds as a result of non-compliance with the country's financial laws. Three bills will therefore be tabled in this parliamentary session to require prior parliamentary approval of the full details of government loans and guarantees, and to facilitate the recovery of debt to government. My government will continue to work on the enactment and ratification of those treaties and conventions which are still outstanding from the last parliamentary session. Among them, the Economic Partnership Agreement, the Caribbean Community Skills National Amendment Act, and the OECS Economic Union Treaty. A number of acts that have been passed but not yet implemented will become operational in this parliamentary session. Among them will be the Labour Code, which was passed in 2006, but to which some amendments have been proposed. A commencement date will be set after these amendments have been passed in Parliament. A number of existing laws are down for review during this parliamentary session. Legislation in the sphere of family law will be amended to address many identified deficiencies in the areas of child care and adoption, custody and access, child maintenance and domestic violence. In the area of trade, the External Trade Act 1996 will be reviewed. So will the Local Government Ordinance Chapter 239 of 1947 to facilitate the smooth operation of local government authorities. The Fiscal Incentive Act of 1974 to provide for a more systematic and equitable granting of incentives to entrepreneurs and the Micro and Small Scale Business Enterprise Act. Finally, among the new pieces of legislation which my government proposes to enact during this session are the National Symbols Act to engender national pride and national identity, a Justices of the Peace Act to provide a code of conduct and guidelines for Justices of the Peace, a Forest Act to further strengthen the protection of the forest, and the establishment of a Law Reform and Review Commission to develop local capacity to revise and update our laws. The Constitutional Reform Commission, which was established by statutory instrument in July 2004 to review and reform the Constitution of St. Lucia, has been holding extensive dialogue in order to consider appropriate changes to the Constitution. During this parliamentary session, my government anticipates the submission of the reports of the Constitutional Review Commission to the Speaker of the House of Assembly. During this parliamentary session as well, my government will seriously consider whether St. Lucia should accede to the Caribbean Court of Justice as St. Lucia's final court of appeal in civil and criminal matters. Government acknowledges the sovereignty of the countries in the region and reposes its confidence in the capabilities of the Caribbean's highly experienced and respected judiciary. It intends to engage all political groups and civil society to arrive at a decision. Madam President, Madam Speaker, tout petit comme nous petit, c'est ici pas manchot. Nous pas dernier pion à Adam en parmi ces pays la terre non plus. Nous sommes du bout et puis le plus gros pays est débrouillé pour nous. Je sais ici qu'à voyager tout partout au niveau de la terre. Et puis côté de traversé, je vais quitter Mathieu en qualité de contribution, qualité de travail là, je vais faire, et puis croyance là et confiance là, je vais décider de faire. C'est pour raison ça là. Nous avons préparé pour recevoir, Saint-Lucien, qui a sorti tout partout en juillet l'année salle, si Dieu veut, pour célébrer cette Saint-Lucie. Ni ça qui a été ici, aussi bien qu'on ça qui réside dans l'autre pays. Toute Saint-Lucie, c'est un. C'est comme si on là, nous le voyons. By tout Jean Seigneur. Nous avons plaidé Saint-Lucien pour réfléchir à toute manière à elle nous devons vivre en communauté. Et puis nous avons encouragé pour prendre ça là, pour vivre l'union avec l'amitié et puis l'un à l'autre. Quand Chantouel l'a donné, dis-nous, si l'un tombe, l'un à l'autre, supportez-nous. C'est comme ça là qui a assisté nous détruit ces menaces-là qui a gêné pour le pays. Moi, pays nous te plié. Mais ce n'est pas pour nous quitter cassé. Parce que nous tous payons. Madame Présidente, Madame Speaker, there can be little doubt that as a small nation seeking to find our place in a world environment that is becoming increasingly less sensitive to the situation of countries like ours, we can be justifiably proud of our accomplishments. Our democracy remains strong, as evidenced by the often heated debates that take place within these chambers. Our people have traveled the globe and have left their imprint wherever they have been, always displaying a sense of community despite the realities of geography. Tout Saint-Lucien Seyon remains the rallying call, even more appropriate for this year, as we celebrate homecoming in July, when St. Lucians from across the world will descend upon their island home. For many, it will be a renewal, a kind of sabbatical, a rededication to their country, re-emphasizing unity, interdependence, and patriotism. Let us seize this moment to demonstrate to the world our sense of moral authority, civic responsibility, and a desire for social equity. We can embrace this opportunity to build on the foundation already laid for us by our forefathers for a promising future for ourselves, our children, and future generations, notwithstanding the realities of a hostile world. but it is a threat to our nation from within, which could ultimately prove to be the greatest impediment to our success, and which we must eliminate. My government pledges to use all its energies during this parliamentary session and beyond towards realizing a brighter future for our country. Therefore, it is with a sense of optimism derived from my abiding faith in the strength of character and willpower of my fellow St. Lucians everywhere that I formally declare open the fifth session of the ninth Parliament of St. Lucia. I thank you.